Well, good morning again. My name again is Scott Tinman. I am the youth pastor here at Findlay E. Free, and so glad to be part of this service this morning here at our Heatherwood campus or out at our Lighthouse campus. I'll welcome you. This is Graduate Sunday, and so towards the end of the service, we're going to get a chance to be able to meet some of our graduates and what they're planning on doing as they go on to this next phase of life. And it's always exciting to be able to be here to share on Graduate Sunday. As I was thinking about this morning, I was like, man, this year it's a little bit harder, because last year I had Jordan Beal that came and brought the message, one of our students that graduated and now is at Cedarville, and I only had to do half. And so I have a full sermon today. And so excited to be able to share that with you. And as I thought about our message this morning, because we're staying in the same series that we've been going through, Behold His Glory. And we're in the book of John. So if you have a Bible with you, you want to turn to the book of John, because that's where we're going to be looking at this morning. But as I looked at this passage that we are looking at, is really hard to comprehend, logically speaking. What we're going to be talking about, what we're going to be looking at this morning, sometimes just when we look at it, doesn't make sense. We're going to be like one of the characters in this story, a person named Nicodemus, who probably thought of things logically. And we're going to get into who Nicodemus is and examine what might have been going through his mind. But as I think about, you know, that logically speaking stuff, I'm really not that logically minded. You're probably thinking, uh-oh, where's this going? But maybe you're like me when I think about, you know, we have graduates this morning and they've finished high school. For me, math was hard. Anyone else identify with that, math being hard? You know, I wasn't one of those that enjoyed math class. In high school, we only had to get up through geometry, and I was glad to be able to stop there, because math is hard. But I have youth pastor math. And what youth pastor math is, all you need to know is how much pizza does it take to feed a bunch of hungry teenagers. And so if you ever have that experience and you want to know what it takes to feed people with pizza, it's 2.5 pieces per person. All right? Multiply that. A large pizza gets 8 pieces when you're cutting them like Domino's does, not the square pieces. And there's your math. But this logically, maybe it's also to the fact, logically speaking, I'm a guy, and when it comes to following directions and putting something together, I don't do that, right? Until I find that I can't do it right, and then I go to YouTube and figure out how to do it. But, you know, that whole thing of following things, if this happens, then that happens. Or maybe it's when you're cooking, and maybe some of you are like my wife, when people ask her, oh, that was a good dish, can you give me the recipe? She's like, I don't know, I just threw stuff together, you know. Think about that as we look at this passage, because sometimes when we encounter a passage like this, you might be a linear thinker. And this one is just going to, just like it did to Nicodemus, kind of blow our minds about what Jesus is talking about here. So let's read from John chapter 3. If you have a Bible with you, you can follow along there. Also, we'll have the verses up on the screen if you want to follow. Let's read this together. I'll read, you follow. It says this, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that we have come, that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, you are a teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Let's pray together. God, we just come before you right now, and we pray that you would teach us through this passage, that you would teach us what Nicodemus encountered here, this idea of being born again. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me, your Holy Spirit would teach us. We pray this in your name. Amen. So Nicodemus here comes to Jesus, and he kind of stumbles into this question that Jesus brings up. Now, a question that all of us are going to encounter as well. The question is this: what does it mean to be born again? You know, maybe we hear about this. You read in Google or the newspaper, wherever it might be, so-and-so has become a born-again believer. And then you look at their life, and we're going to talk about this through this message, and nothing has changed, really. And so I think that might be some of the questions that we're going to be approaching this morning. But to get an idea, we need to find out, who was this Nicodemus? Who is Nicodemus? In verse 1, we find out that he's a Pharisee, he's a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was one of those that lived by the strictest possible rules as a Pharisee. Now, in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus had some not so kind words about Pharisees because of that. But not all Pharisees were hypocrites, and Nicodemus was a deeply sincere about his faith, and that's why he comes to Jesus. He came to Jesus by night. Some people think, oh, he came to Jesus by night so that no one else would know. But as I study this, that could be one of the reasons. He could also come to Jesus by night because Jesus had just started his public ministry and word was getting out, and the only way that Nicodemus can have some of that one-on-one attention with Jesus was to come at him by night because no one else would be around. And so maybe he came to him to have this uninterrupted conversation with this new teacher that comes from God. It says that in verse 1 there too. In verse 2. Nicodemus also uses this plural noun in this passage of we. So maybe Nicodemus is coming. Maybe he drew the short straw that week, and the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, were like, you need to go to him at night and ask this question, find out what's going on with this guy named Jesus. Or maybe it was just that he was going to come back and report back. But what we do know of Nicodemus, he had high moral character, he was deeply religious, and he had a hunger, but yet he was still spiritually blind. Because as we go through this, the verses there, we see that he just didn't get it. Because then Jesus says something there. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus was speaking about a spiritual rebirth, a new birth. Think about that. Situation isn't different for us today. We're talking about the same thing today. That Jesus wants us to have this spiritual rebirth. He talks about being born again. Sometimes when we think about being a born-again believer, the thought is, well, I go to church, I read my Bible sometimes. In my family situation, in the family I grew up, many of my family did not know Jesus. They think, well, Scott knows. I can maybe get on the coattails of Scott. He's a pastor. Actually, my grandpa used to call me the bishop, and I have there's no reason why he should call me the bishop, but he would call me the bishop. And you know, it's a spiritual heritage. You know, when we think about being born again, it's about all the different things that we do, that we might say. But what Jesus is talking here to Nicodemus, and what he just wasn't getting, was that there has to be a spiritual rebirth. Another word for that is being regenerated. Regeneration is a big theological word. And here's a way that we could define regeneration. Regeneration is this. It's the secret act of God in which he imparts new spiritual life to us. This is sometimes called being born again. And when the scriptures refer to it, you can look at James chapter 1, verse 18, 1 Peter verse 1, verse 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 is another one. And then here in this passage, John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. And here is what we need to understand. Just like we didn't choose to be made physically alive, there's nothing that we could do to be chosen to be born again. What I'm saying in that is that it's nothing that we do. We can't go to church enough. We can't read enough of the Bible. We can't do all the activities of what maybe people think a person who's a Christian should do. It's nothing that we have done. But it has been done for us. See, the Holy Spirit, the work of God in regeneration probably came as a surprise to Nicodemus. But maybe it's, you know, one of those things where, hey, I've heard this somewhere before might have popped up. Because when we look back at a passage in Ezekiel, God promised a time in the future when he would give new spiritual life to his people. And the passage comes from Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, it says this: a new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take out of your flesh the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. This is talking about the fact that God the Holy Spirit and God the Father is the one that regenerates us. He's the one that gives us a new heart. That's where this logically speaking doesn't make sense. It's hard to comprehend, because when we think about regeneration, it's a mystery to us of how that happens. Here's what we do know. We know that somehow we were spiritually dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 talks about this. But then it also talks that we've been made alive in God, and we have this sense that we have been born again because the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives and drawing us towards him. But we don't really understand how that happens. What exactly God does to give us this new spiritual life. Talks about that in this passage that we're looking at this morning. Jesus says, the wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Think about that with the wind. It's a mystery to us, right? We know it's there, but we can't really explain it. Same happens with regeneration. Scripture views regeneration as something that affects us as a whole person. Maybe you have had that experience where God had been revealing himself to you, and that's the Holy Spirit working in your life, and your spirit is made alive. You've been spiritually awoken. I think about this when I was a teenager. I hated getting up in the morning. Wait a second. As I'm an adult, I hate getting up in the morning. All right. And I remember my mom would always struggle to get me going, especially when I got to high school, because I just didn't want to get up. But something happened between my eighth grade and ninth grade year where I became spiritually alive, where all the Bible stories and things that I had grown up thinking, oh, that's from the Bible, it made sense to me. And once I entered into ninth grade, I chose to follow Jesus. When I did that, there was this guy named Dave Lang that said, hey, Scott, we have a prayer breakfast Bible study on Friday mornings before school. And we meet at Perkins, and we eat breakfast together. Well, as a high school student, food, I'm there. Guess what? Monday through Thursday, my mom struggled to wake me up. Friday morning, I was up like 10 minutes earlier than I needed to be. See, I had been awoken spiritually, and that was a connection for me. And so maybe it's this whole thing of our spirit is alive, and that's what happens, and that's what Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about. It's not that our spirits were necessarily dead before, but we were just dead to God. That's what it talks about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. But something happened to me during my eighth and ninth grade year that is talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says this, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. There's a new person. Now, I didn't know everything. I still don't know everything, but something changed. And that's what Jesus is talking about, this being born again, to be spiritually reborn. Well, how do we know that we have been regenerated or born again? What are some evidences that that has happened in our life? As I thought about that, there are a few that came to mind of evidences that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. And for this morning, I'm going to be speaking to two different people here, I believe. I believe I'm going to be talking to some people that haven't taken that step of being born again, haven't taken that step of following Jesus. But I'm also going to be talking to some of us as believers, those that are walking with Jesus, and really challenging us to think, are some of these things evident in my life of being born again? First one is this. There's been a response to the Spirit of God working in our life towards Jesus. When we have been spiritually reborn, as what was being talked about to Nicodemus here, is that you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. There has to be a response to that. Paul spoke the gospel message to a woman named Lydia in Acts chapter 16, verse 14. And it says this, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by God. Here we see that regeneration is happening, that the Holy Spirit is working in Lydia's life, and she's open to what Paul is going to be speaking about as he shares the gospel. She responds and says, yes, I am going to follow Jesus. John says something similar to this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And as we've been going through the book of John, and as if you read through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you will see different passages that say this about being born of God, because that's talking about this spiritual rebirth process. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, I mentioned that, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead." So there needs to be this response. There has to be a response of the Spirit of God working in your life towards Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross. Second one is this: a truly regenerated person cannot continue to go on sinning. When we have the Spirit of God living in us, we can't go on sinning. Does that mean we never sin? No. There's going to be stumbling, but we can't continue going on sinning. Check out what it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. "No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him." He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. So a regenerated person, what John is explaining here is that there is a spiritual seed within each one of us, and that we can't continue to go on sinning. That seed that's living in us will free us from sin. We have to recognize it. We need to repent from it. We're not going to live a perfect life, but we can live in a pattern of life where we don't continue to sin. Here's what characterizes a person who has a regenerated life. Rather than being called a sinner, this is what we could say. They're obedient to Christ. They're obedient to Scripture. Because when Scripture is revealed to us where we have made mistakes and where we have sinned, we respond to that because the Spirit of God is working in us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29, another way to look at this is, "Everyone who does what is right has been born of him." And so this truly regenerated person cannot continue going on sinning. Here's a third one. A genuine Christ-like love will be another specific result in life. Do you have Christ-like love towards other people? Regenerated people, people who have been born again, have that in their life. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. That's what 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 tells us. So do we have Christ-like love in our life towards other people? Next one is this. Another effect of the new birth or this regeneration is overcoming the world. Isn't that a great promise? That we can overcome the world. It says in John chapter 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, "And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God has overcome the world." When we have that in our life, we've overcome the world. John explains that regeneration gives us the ability to overcome the pressures, the temptations that we're going to face of the world, and keep us to obeying God's commands and following his path. That's what a born-again believer does. That's what someone who has been truly regenerated does. John says that we'll overcome these pressures and they won't be burdensome to us because we want to obey God's commands. Those are some of the different ways that we could see that. We sang a song this morning called "My Victory." We started. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 is that this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith, as we think about Jesus being the one that has given us that victory because we are walking with him. Last one is this. John notes that another result of regeneration is protection from Satan himself. We as followers of Jesus can walk and be protected from him. The attacks that Satan gives us, we can overcome those. So think about that. Are you truly regenerated? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Have you walked in a pattern of life where you don't continue to sin? Do you love your brother and sister around you? Are those some of the different characteristics that are in your life as a follower of Jesus, as someone who has been born again? Because those are the evidence. We could also look at the ones that Paul talks about in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23 talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Are the fruits of the Spirit in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. Patience. Does that happen when you're in line at Walmart and it's not moving quick? Maybe you've been praying for patience and God gives you those opportunities to do that. But are those evidences that are happening in your life? Because those that are truly regenerated have those characteristics in their life. So this morning, the two responses, the two things that I want to challenge us in light of what we read here in John chapter 3 and this encounter that Jesus has with Nicodemus is this. How do you answer that question? Are you born again? You know, for those that might have haven't taken that step of faith, because the regeneration happens first. The Holy Spirit is at work in people's lives first to have us open to the gospel message. And it's nothing that we can do. We can't go to church enough, as I said before. We can't read the Bible enough. We can't do enough to be regenerated. What we need to do is we need to have a heart change. We need to have what Ezekiel talks about. We need to have that heart of stone taken from us and have a heart of flesh that is open to what Jesus wants to reveal to us. So that first person that I might be talking about in the room here or over at the Lighthouse campus is this. Have you been born again? Have you taken that step of receiving the gift that God has given us? Second person that I want to talk to you about is the believer. Things that I just talked about, these evidences of what a regenerated person or what a born, are those evidence in your life? Is there some priorities that might need to change? Do we need to go back and look at these scriptures and say, wow, I need to live in that a little bit more? So the challenge is to meet you where you're at. Jesus meets us where we're at. If that is something, you're that first person that hasn't taken that step to accept Christ. You've been hearing these things and they're starting to make sense. Talk to a friend that brought you. Talk to one of the pastors here. We'd love to walk through that with you. For those second person ones, maybe it's talking to a friend or talking to a pastor here. Of really understanding, am I truly regenerated? How can I live in this way? Well, let's close in prayer. God, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for Nicodemus's boldness to come to you and to be able to understand what it means to be reborn. To be born again. It's nothing that we have done, but it's everything that you have done for us. And so, Lord, I pray that wherever people are at, whether they've never taken that step of being born again, of responding to the Spirit working in their life, that they would take those steps and follow after you. For those that might be struggling with it. And Lord, some of these things of the evidences of being born again in our life aren't there, Lord. I pray that you would help us to overcome them as you promised in these scriptures. That we could go from this room and walk closer and closer to you. Pray these things in your name. Amen.